So we are going to start, what we're basically going to do, we're going to look through the Donegal season as it unfortunately ended for us two on last Sunday there, but maybe if you're an RMF fan, you're probably happy enough. But look, so we look at the first game, and the first real big game of the season probably came before the league, and Monaghan came out on top, 111 to 13 points. So yeah, how would you assess that game? January 22nd, so...
yeah, that probably wasn't our... You may say it probably wasn't our main team. That had, like, there's a lot of men making their starts. You know, and a few of them boys that started that match, I did see a few, like Aaron Doherty, they're even coming on there during the championship. So it was a good kind of staging ground for a lot of boys. But seeing how Monaghan's year kind of went, it's a wee bit parallel to our own now, but you would like to believe we hold ourselves a wee bit higher than Monaghan current standings, but I mean, at the end of the year, they're bringing back silverware. We're not. They won the game, I got from it. We were a wee bit fresher, greener looking, probably a better word for it, than Monaghan were, but at the end of the day, what do you do? The legs are well up that Monaghan team, but they had a lot more experience, even for their newer boys coming through, probably played a lot more matches than some of our new boys came to. But it was, you know, losing by what, a point? It was 111 to 13, so losing by a point, cup final in January, probably not look too desperately into the scenario and think it went too badly, but then, you know yourself, it's always nice to bring something home.
Yeah. And then we go to the first game of the league, and it was in Sligo while Castlebar was being redeveloped, and yeah, so while Donegal were leading most of the game, Mayo got up a few scores at the end, and it was an 11 apiece draw. So, yeah, what did you make of that game?
It was a very stereotypical Donegal Mayo match.
Yeah.
There was very little separating the two sides. Very early on, I thought in the match, we controlled their forward line very well. You know, I thought that they didn't get a whole lot of space to do damage to us, which was very, very good to see. But at the end of the day, then, looking at where they are now in the year, we realise that they probably have a problem in their forward line. You know, it's not firing on all cylinders at the minute, so there's probably gaps there. So they are very much reliant on their outfield players, whereas we ourselves, you know, during that match, probably should have had them away. I would say probably 15 minutes into the second half there was kind of when they hit their purple patch and started coming into it big time again. But first game of the league, you draw with Mayo, who, let's be realistic here, Mayo, in many people's eyes, would be looked upon as probably being one of the favourites going into it. Either themselves, Kerry. I think a few people probably would have had Tyrone pipped as well. Personally, I wouldn't have had Tyrone up there, but, you know, they did go on, they did get the draw, so we'll take that result handy enough. And as a sign of things to come, you know, I think a draw with Mayo would probably...
Yeah. And then we came out the next week and welcomed Kildare to Ballybofey. And yeah, Kildare, you know, they put up a good showing, but it was pretty easy going and it was good to get our first league one. Yeah.
There was a big gap, I think, between the one we had this year and the last one we had. So that, like, you know, it was looked upon as being a bit of a fortress up in the northwest, and, you know, I feel like we really did push on and do a lot of damage there against Kildare. I mean, this was the year only came up this year, didn't they?
Yeah.
And then, you know, suppose they went straight back down again, but still, you know, someone has to go down, and unfortunately League One, it could be any team on the day.
Yeah. And then we go to the next game, which was down in Killarney. Yeah. There was we probably got more possession than Kerry, but that was about the only thing we dominated in that game, and yeah, it didn't really pan out as planned. So yeah, how'd you assess that game?
Sweepers back and try and cut away some of the space that the Kerry forwards had. That's not going to do much good because a lot of their half-back midfield runners are comfortable enough to score off either foot, no matter where they are. So it's, it kind of comes down to how do you stop them, and I don't think we had the answer for them that day. Like,
yeah, and then we go to our next game there, and yeah, after they knocked out the championship there, and you know, I think, you know, beating Tyrone's becoming a bit of a trend recently for any team in the country. So we beat Tyrone convincing one without Michael Murphy too, so it was definitely a good one. Yeah, and then we go to the week after, and you touched on earlier, but we spent about how long, you know, it was maybe decades or so. We spent so long without a league loss, and McCool Park, and then Monaghan show up and get the job done against us. So yeah, it wasn't exactly good day.
Them against Dublin at the very last game of the year, whenever they were fighting for survival, there was no shyness about them at all going into things. Like, so you kind of have to give it up to them. Like,
yeah, and then we go to the next game there, and yeah, we travelled down to Croke Park, and Dublin got one of only 2 wins in the whole league campaign, and one of them had to be against us.
It was a sore match to watch too. One of the things there now that I'm kind of perplexed by is why does every league match have to take part in place in Croker for Dublin?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Here's Park is there, why don't we use it? I'm not saying it's an unfair advantage, but this year, more than other years, I feel like it's been highlighted that if Croke Park isn't busy, it's a dead area. Like, that big open space too definitely suits Dublin more than ourselves. Like, I feel like it kind of suits injured to any team outside of Ulster, if I'm being honest. Maybe not, actually, no, not Armagh this year. Armagh's great passing now, we've done them a lot of favours down there. But in regards to, like, we, listen, the joke is we all love to hand pass and we all love to go back and forth along the 45, but the joke's there for a reason, because most Ulster teams do that. You know, whenever we hit our Ulster finals, we had 15 Derry men behind the ball, so the ball got tossed up. And I feel like that kind of style of football was not lending itself well to Andrew Cook Park playing against Dublin in a league match in March. Especially whenever it's only 3 days after Paddy's Day, so you had no voice.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, cheaper pints in Donegal doesn't help either, but. Yeah, yeah. Now then we go to the next game, and it was when Donegal managed to survive in Division 1 when Patrick McBurney saved the day against Armagh. So yeah.
In fairness, Patrick, he's been called upon a few times now. I've heard a lot of people, I had a lot of people complain about Patrick there now, but anytime he was asked to do his job, he did it. I had good time for Patrick. Like, as far as I'm concerned, Patrick McBurney did a great job in that forward line. Not just in that moment when he was called upon to keep us up, but just throughout the entire match and the league. Even he had a great league campaign. You know, Armagh played us that day the same way they played us the year before, and they played us the same way in the very next match too, which was the. We had Tyrone in between, didn't we? No, we had Armagh at the end of the league, and then we had them at the start of the championship, isn't that simple, right?
Yeah, so
they played it the same way both times, and I remember our kickouts, Sean Patton, each time he had a selection to him, like anywhere he wanted to put the ball, he could just put it, and Phil McGaw man was coming out on top of it. Both matches, and I feel like, it looked like, you know, the Armagh back staff didn't really do their homework. It felt like, you know, they just thought all they had to do was show up Larry Kenny in the first match, and just that was going to be it. End of the day, O'Donnell Park. But at the end of the day, Donegal came through. That it was a very exciting day of football, actually, because what was it, from fourth all the way down, you didn't know who was going to stay up. Any team could have been relegated, and that was fun for me. That was like, you know, it was exciting to talk about. Especially, I'm not going to lie, lads, seeing Dublin go down was a big lift.
Yeah.
In the provinces, if that makes any sense.
Yeah.
And I know Spillane has just come out and said that the healthiest football province in Ireland, he thinks, is Munster. There's three Munster teams left in the championship at the minute, and it's pure scutter, like.
Yeah.
I mean, they don't even the Ulster teams drew each other. You know, and I mean, any team up here can put it up to anyone. Whereas if you go down that way, like, it was cricket scores as far as I can remember in the Munster football, like, that Leitrim final against Kerry was just a big moment. Like, no fault to the footballers from Leitrim, you know, or not even from Limerick. They went there and they played, like, by the end of the day, it was a real, like, junior match versus seniors. You know, that's what it kind of looked like. There was just a different kind of a take on it. And for ourselves, playing against Armagh at the very end there, and even the first match championship, it showed the standard of football where it was in Ulster, and just threw down the manager, like.
Yeah, and then we'll... Now, then, the Armagh, then they came to Ballyfae the next day, and while they got their suspensions all overturned, they just really couldn't do it there.
Donegal took the two men about the character. Right or wrong, you accept the referees. You're kind of told that from day one. Whenever you go to under fives or under tens or whatever, you know, no matter what the ref says, you don't talk back to him. And every football match you'll ever play, you'll always be told, don't talk back to the ref. But you always do. But at the end of the day now, you're seeing five men who are involved in a melee, you know, getting five red cards and then having them overturned. You have to question it, like.
Yeah, and then there is... next game there, and it was when we got revenge for the 2020 Ulster final, when we knocked Cavan down to the Talcheen Cup. So yeah, a good performance, even though Cavan played some good football against us. And then the next day as well, and it isn't exactly one for the purists, but we battled on to extra time against Derry, and Derry just in the second half extra time, they put up about 2 points, and that was us there. So yeah, how'd you then reflect on that game? Yeah.
10 minutes before the first point went over, you know, those are hard. Like, we've played in it, you've all played in them matches at a club level, I'm sure. I haven't seen a county match be that way in a while now, but at club level, you've played in them matches where you don't want to make a mistake. You know, you don't want to step up and be the first man to shoot for it to go in straight in over the car park. Like, and defensively, it was a hard match. Like, as soon as the ball got hopped up, 15 men, the opposition team that didn't have the ball, went behind the ball, and you just got shades. You got shades of like 2011, 2012, you know, 2013 Ulster football, where it was just hand passing back and forth. And you know, say what you want now, but Derry's fullback, I can't remember his name at all.
Brendan Rodgers.
What a match he had, man. What a match. To be following Michael Murphy about the place and still put up 2 or 3 scores himself, didn't he?
Yeah.
Like, the man had unbelievable match. Connor Glass, the engine on him. Mary Wett, the boy who never stopped running. How he didn't collapse, I'll never understand. But at the end of the day, you know, we weren't beaten skill-wise. I would say that much. It wasn't down to a contest of skill. I would say it was just more so down to just the rub of the green went their way a few times. You know, a couple times or now, a few of our boys, the tanks just kind of gave up on them, especially at the end of extra time. Like, that extra time stuff is hard on the body. That's when the cramp comes in and everything else. But you know what, though? I'm thankful it didn't go to penalties.
Mm.
I'm not a fan of penalties in Gaelic, especially at underage stuff. Like, you hear of underage boys losing cups, losing trophies on penalties. I just... I'd rather a replay, you know, and it feels weird not having replays, and because you're always kind of think, you know, GA would want another payday out of it, another 50,000, 30,000, however many it was, way up to bonus or whatever, get fill the coffers like. But I did find that match. a sign of two good teams playing at it. Like, although the one thing I would say now, I know we're going to go well, was Michael Murphy was floating in around RD a lot as a sweeper, and no ball kind of came in there. Do you know what I mean? And you know, Derry never even looked like they were going to put the ball in there, as far as I could see from my time watching it. You know, they never really tried that wee skip pass, but they did try the two runners off the right hand side or left channel. And their forwards never really ran the gates, so to speak. Like, so you know, was he a wee bit wasted in there? Probably. And the tank was probably well gone and going up and down the pitch. Like, but at the end of the day, those are kind of things you look back at video analysis, you think to yourself, like, you know, could we have done this different? But you're not going to see them in the heat of the match. Like,
yeah, and then we go to the next game there. So then the season ended last Sunday when Armagh, yeah, just, you know, improved massively since that game at Ballygofey, and maybe we went down a bit of it, and then, yeah, so they're through the quarterfinals, we aren't, and, you know, yeah.
Grugan, Rory Grugan, like that. Like, the three boys are now between themselves. They're doing a lot of damage. They're hurting teams now. And I think a lot of it comes down to that direct pass. And I think now the more they're playing with each other, the more they're kind of learning about each other. And you're seeing it. And had a very fit. Like, they were still going hell for tongs against Tyrone in the last 10 minutes and against ourselves, too. Like, you know, it's about time that can Armagh team kind of came together. Like, and shown big time. They're all big, strong, imposing men, and you know, what do you say against a team that put 370 against it? That first goal now, you'd want to take a look at yourself and thinking, how can a team score? What was it, like 10 seconds? How can a team score a goal in 10 seconds when it's not even a player running? But at the end of the day, you can't accept it. What was your take on the penalty?
Yeah, well, you know, my old club man, Keelan McGonigal, could have been the absolute hero of the county if he saved that. But look, I was... Yeah.
Yeah.
I know, but like, it just couldn't have been there all rest. And there's plenty of talk of what Paddy McBurdy and Sean Patton were saying on that bench.
Yeah, you know what, I wouldn't even hazard a guess.
Yeah.
There was obviously a very heated, I suppose, might be a good way of looking at it.
And then who do you feel would have been the best player for Donegal this year?
It was good. Do you know what though? It was good to see a couple of boys coming through from
Yeah.
Got the wrong idea. But, you know, there, like, there was a lot, like, Aaron Doherty came
here. Yeah. Yeah.
Came on, you know, and there's a couple other boys from other clubs there kind of scattered around the country. It was no longer just your kind of big four or five counties that we've seen in other years. Like,
yeah.
That to me would probably be the big one. I think Sean Patton's kickouts this year were very good too.
Yeah.
You know, can't really take much away from him. He's a great shot stopper. So, in terms of keepers, I think we're still pretty okay there. Well, what about yourself? Who would you put down?
Well, obviously, Keelan McGonagall's had a great year and stuff, and I do think, but I'm gonna go with best player. That's a tough one. Murphy is always the obvious candidate. I think, you know, that McKenna Cup final against Monaghan, other games he came on and really, really kicked up all the scores there. Miho Langan has had his season as well, to be sure. But I'm going to think Owen Ban-Gallagher. I think he's been a great, great footballer. You know, and he has been since he came on in about 2017, but he's really found his feet and all the rest there. So I think he's really good there. So if I had to choose anyone, it would be Owen Ban-Gallagher.
Yeah. Well, in fairness, the thing I like about Owen too is the versatility he has with him. If you need a man to go in from cornerback right all the way up to half forward, just attack a player and run at him. Like, the man's terrifying when he starts running at you because he just opens up the legs and he's just gone. You'll be catching your breath trying to keep up with the man. Like, he has some legs on him to go forward. But defensively, he's also sure of it.
Yeah. And then, now the full season has given Declan Boner and the management a chance to bring through young players and all the rest. Like, so out of the young lads that maybe would have made their first kind of impact this year, who do you think would have been the best?
As I said there, you know, you had, would you count this as Shane O'Donnell's first big year?
Oh, I think so, yeah. Yeah, he's, you know, he's been kind of in and around the panel a few years before, but this is the first year he's kind of been starting most games, so yeah.
Sure, even against Armagh, you know, apart from Murphy, he scored the most points for us, like.
Yeah.
So it's kind of hard to look past him. So I personally would kind of go for Shane myself. But as I said, it's good to see other players coming through and getting their caps. Shane O'Donnell will be my, I suppose, newest player when he's not new, but you know what I mean.
Yeah. Yeah, and before we go, so yeah, you've made a few different GAA related TikToks first, particularly towards the Junior B scene, so yeah. Where can you find it all?
You have to keep to it. Hey, they always say talk about what you know, don't you? May as well talk about reserve football. Yeah, listen, now I think, funny enough, after the final against Emma, I made one about Rory Gallagher's kind of
spilling the hands.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's got over 100,000 views there now. I've kind of made a few other ones there. But again, the reason I get a lot of traction more so on the junior B and the reserve side of football, just because of how serious senior football is.
Yeah.
I was watching a TikTok, but it's an S&C coach, and he was talking about how they're taking under 12s. Nah, they're looking at under 12 players now, so that in 6 years' time they'll be senior level. They'll know what they're going to be doing with them. And I just thought, fun is coming out of it. Something serious.
Yeah, I know.
You know, you're all right now. If you're 18 and you want to be dedicated to your club, that's one thing. But come on,
kids.
I'm underage. Out of the four, you may say, out of the four kind of age groups, I had under 12, 14, 16, and 10. I was in four county finals.
Yeah.
I'm talking about how, you know, you have the psychologist coming in and the business and that. It's hard to make jokes in men or things like
that. Yeah. But back when I was under 12, we would have had blitzes in Armagh, but because there was teams as far as Dublin there, our coaches would have been branding it as an All-Ireland competition, which they weren't wrong, like, but you know, but we really took it serious there. And then there was another competition in Uri quite similar to our drama. Yeah.
You remember the day that you had it underage, you know, when you were going to go up and you were going to enjoy
Yeah.
How is the 15-year-old who's not allowed to drink, but is drinking all the same, down the hedgerows with his mates, going to enjoy that pint if he thinks he's training in the morning? You know, that's the kind of questions you'd want to be asking yourself. If you're introduced far too much too heavy, especially in kind of smaller clubs with less of a catchment area, you know, you're going to lose out. A lot of boys are going to be in it. It's just going to get too... For me, anyway, looking at it, it'd probably be too serious. Quick for a lot of young men.
Yeah, so yeah, well, thanks anyways for the talk there.
That's the way it's gone. It's lovely to on. I must say, now it was a bit of a disappointing season, seeing that there was no silverware, but like, what more can you ask?
Yeah.